Go ahead and take your Bibles and open to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, and as you're turning, if you could stand in the honor, and if you're able to stand in the honor of reading God's Word. The book of Genesis is a tremendous book, and I'll probably say it 100 times if I say it once, that certainly the foundation of the entire Bible. And once you get this down, other things make sense. But we're going to start in verse 1, chapter 1. And it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to every thing that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this portion of Scripture, and I pray that you would bless it to our hearts this morning. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this book in which the Bible and all of mankind is based on, it's all right here in 50 chapters. And this is where one will believe the Bible as it should be believed, or you don't. We, you and I, and all people must come to a point in what they would believe of Holy Writ. In other words, what you believe of the Bible. Now, is the Bible inerrant without mistakes? Is the Bible infallible in all its teaching? Is it absolutely proper and without contradictions? Yes, it is. It is. While ministering in a medium security prison in Washington, many of the inmates would come at me and because I stand on the King James Version 1611, the authorized version, and they would want to come and they would want to more argue with me, and I didn't really want to argue because it doesn't get you anywhere, you know. But if they would come and want to speak to me about some things, I would just love to sit down and I would tell them that I would love to sit down with them and tell them why I believe what I believe and why I use this Bible. And to tell them of the manuscripts used to translate this one Bible and the incredible men who were a part of that whole process, and then how it was all done. And there was two, maybe three that took me up on it. But, you know, there is so much here that I will just be able to scratch the surface this morning as I'm going to attempt to get through the first chapter this morning. So I'm going to have to move kind of quick, but I do pray that you will find this is as interesting as I do. I have studied through this one time, and I'm going to study it again. As a matter of fact, I've got two Bibles the same. They're exactly the same. You know how you have Bibles and, you know, when yours wears out, you hate to get another Bible because you know where to look. So I got two Bibles exactly the same, you know. And you say, why would you do that? Well, I'm using this book because all the notes are in my other Bible. So I'm making my own new notes here. And I'm restudying it. And there's so much more that you can glean from the Bible. You'll never get to an end of Scripture. Amen? So it's like new again. And it's always good. But I want to look at the first point. I want to look at the believer. At the believer. Those of us that believe. Genesis. It means the beginnings. And that's what I entitled this message of the beginnings. And it is the beginnings of the earth. It is the beginning of everything. And this This particular book provides a universal question of the origin of all living things in the universe. It provides where sin and the evil world came from and how it became sin and where did sin come from. Do you realize that more than half of human history is covered in these 50 chapters? More half of human history in 50 chapters. It is foundational to the entire Bible, so it is good to get a good grasp of it. And without Genesis, so much would be unknown. We wouldn't know what we know without this book. We wouldn't know about creation. We wouldn't know of good and evil and sin and the fall. We wouldn't know the promise of redemption in Genesis 3. We wouldn't know where the Hebrew people came from, or we wouldn't know where the Jew came from. We wouldn't know anything about the flood. Where did the Muslims come from, and what are they about? Why do they claim Abraham as the father of their people? We see the different peoples and the languages. You know, how did all that happen? Where did that come from? Well, it covers it in Scripture. It goes on and on. There's so much that what we know, we will see tremendous mercy and grace. Well, you know, I remember hearing people speak about the Old Testament, how God was not a merciful and gracious God. And when you go through the book of Genesis, you're going to find how merciful and gracious He really is. And I'm thinking, like, what do they read the same Bible I do? I mean, are they getting out of that what I'm getting? Because I see so much mercy for man. And you think, why did? You'll see. You're gonna, if you keep coming back, you're gonna see, and you're gonna think, how in the world would God put up with those people? And I'm grateful because God puts up with me. You know, my wife says amen and amen. And says, but know that the earth and man were originally created in righteousness and true holiness. That's the way we were created. We see the promises. We see covenants. We see the Abrahamic covenant and how we have been spiritually adopted into the this promise. Romans 8:15, it says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." And everything that entails that, we will cover that. Our belief. What about our belief? To believe the Genesis account will bring us to say, okay, what do I believe of and what do I believe in God? What do I believe of and in God? What do I believe? Can God use man to properly write a book perfectly and then be able to preserve it for eons? 2 Peter 1:21 says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." That word "move" means to bear down and be driven and to be led by the Holy Ghost. These were truly spiritually sensitive men. And then to be able to preserve the Word of God. God has had a definite hand on everything. And if God could not keep this, then how could He keep us? And I just don't say, well, God keeps this because He keeps us. It's not that the Bible contains the Word of God. It is God, the Bible is the Word of God. And every part of it. And so, we have to have complete confidence in this book. And no finite being has any power to create ex nihilo. Now, Ex nihilo is a word that's used that when God created, you say, well, there was space. Well, there was nothing. And he says, well, I don't understand that. Well, neither do I. This is where faith comes in. Ex nihilo means that there was nothing. There was no matter. There was no nothing. It means that he created everything. I mean, that's wood. I think this is oak, right? And that's not a figment of our imagination, all right? It's matter. It's real. And he created the universe. He created this earth. There wasn't anything, and then there is. He created matter. Isn't that wild? You know? And in Scripture, in Genesis chapter 1, good is used seven times. Seven is God's number of perfection. Good means this. It means well. It means beautiful. It means bountiful. It means favored. And I like that word beautiful. And he said it was good. He says, in other words, it is beautiful. He uses the word made seven times. He uses the word heaven seven times. When Adam was created, he was created with no sinful heredity. You ever think about that? His father had no sin. He was absolutely innocent. I believe he had the appearance of 30 years old. Even though he was a minute old, he had the appearance of 30 years old. Why? For functionality. That's why the earth, you know, you have people today, you know, they'll say that the earth is millions or billions of years old, right? You know, because it is so old. Well, don't you think God could make something that had the appearance of age for functionality? I mean, he is wise. He does know. I mean, I couldn't see Adeline, you know, made, and all of a sudden she's going to be able to do anything. She's going to need mom and dad. But with Adam, he was made with age, the appearance of age, even though he was just made. He was created. He was created. Okay? And Adam's descendants are all alienated from the life of God. We are ruined creatures. We are people with deceitful hearts. Verse 3, it says, and God said. Now, God here is Elohim. 10 times, and God said. He could have not said a word. God could have not said anything. He could have just thought it and done it. But his purpose was to be worked out by counsels or accomplished by his word. Light came by the word. Okay? We get light from his word today. This is where we become enlightened, spiritually speaking. Okay? It comes from the word of God. Activity of the spirit and ministry is of the word of God. And sadly, when sin entered, as in Genesis 3, man's heart was darkened and his understanding. He had a heart darkened so deeply and so terribly that man is unable to even perceive the awfulness of his own condition. In other words, we can say, yes, I am a sinner, but do you know that you are lost? Now, I've had, you know, when people started witnessing to me, and I said, whoa, I know what I am. Well, I know I'm a sinner, but I also didn't think I was that bad. Right? I didn't see myself lost. That's the activity of God. Now, we can talk about, well, are you a sinner? Well, I'm not a sinner. Well, have you ever lied? No, I've never lied. Well, that's a lie. You know? That's a lie. We've all lied. You say, well, how's that? Have you ever told a half-truth? Well, a half-truth is what? A whole lie. Yeah. So we've lied. I mean, this big, oh, you know, yeah, but no. You're so cute and innocent, you know. Wait till your back is turned. Unless it's a boy, he'll do it right in front of you. Because boys are, anyway, dumb as a bag of hammers. But anyway, so we have condemnation upon man and the peril that stands before us. Because we are so unable to see our most urgent need in our affections, our reasoning powers, the power of our will is completely in darkness, and we so desperately need the light of God. And that's what His Word becomes, light. Look at verse 5. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Psalm 119 and verse 130, it says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Okay? I'm a simpleton in so many ways. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Why? So we don't stumble. But it's also and a light unto my path to show us the way to go in a proper way. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick. In other words, it means it's alive. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Well, according to Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10, our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? He says, I, the Lord, search the heart. He knows our heart. Our problem is we don't know it. We don't know how bad we really are. Have you ever asked God in your prayer, God, show me how wicked I really am. Show me how bad I am. I want you to show me. Keep asking till He does. I guarantee you it'll change your life. It will truly change your life as a Christian. But God's message, it says we are made in His image. In verse 26 and 27, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. The word image there, it means this. It's like a shadow. Like I'm standing here and I look down, I can see my shadow. That is the image. That's about as image as you're going to get. So what he's saying is, it's, you think, well, we're just like God. No, this is what we're like. This is it. We can see our hand, it's moving, it's alive, but when we look at that, we can see it. But that's about the extent of the image of God. Okay? That's what he's talking about. It's like a shadow. It's an idea that we can see the outline. But it's far from actually being just like God. You know what I'm saying? So what we're saying is that we are a tripartite being. We have a spirit. The spirit is God consciousness, which when Adam was made, his spirit was made alive. In other words, he had God with him. Okay? He had a soul, which is self-consciousness, and a body, which is sense-consciousness. The soul is who we are. The spirit is our consciousness with God. And at that time, the spirit would rule the soul and the body. Today, when Adam sinned, this physical death, this separation of the soul, see, The separation of the soul from the body, that's death. Spiritual death is the separation of the Spirit of God from our spirit. That is spiritual death. Death is separation. Mrs. Chisholm passed away. Now, her body is here, but she is still alive in heaven. There is a separation, okay, from her body. Her body wore out. That's just it. Your body wears out. And we're not supposed to. You know that when we were made, we were supposed to live forever. And people say, we don't know how people die. We do. Sin. That's why bodies die. They just, all right? And so, she lives on because she received the Lord Jesus Christ, and she lives in heaven. Now, and we can know that because Scripture says that. And Adam, thus by alienating his spirit from God, the spirit, the highest part of Adam's complex being, the spirit no longer dominated him. Instead, it degraded and fell to the level of the soul and ceased to function separately. But today, sadly, the spirit is domineered by the soul. Okay? The soul, and when you look into the Greek, you find that the soul is called psyche. That's why we have psychologist or psychiatrist today. They're dealing with the soul. And where we can allow God to deal with the soul in so many ways. William Cowper, the great hymnist, he lived with John Newton for years and years, but he found himself in an insane asylum, and his doctor told him, if you want to get out of here, the first thing you need to know is that you are a sinner and you need Jesus Christ to save you. Boy, I wish more doctors would go that way. You know, now he had a problem with depression. He had terrible depression problems, but it helped him to get out of there and it helped him understand where he was at. But God used him the way he was, and where John Newton was a pastor, they would write, my goodness, they wrote a whole hymn book. And they taught the people at their church and their town, I can't remember the name of the town, they were all illiterate, but they were lace makers. They made lace, okay? And so on Wednesday night, they would come up with new songs. And they would teach them these songs. And because they couldn't read, they can sing, and they would learn doctrine and all kinds of stuff. Isn't that interesting? You know, that's how they taught it. And they would go and they would sing at work. And they'd be singing these hymns and they'd be learning the Bible as they go. That's why these songs are good. You know, you can learn some things. So, Genesis is to be read with wonder and adoration by man. And we are to commune with the author of nature. Isn't that marvelous? That's the believer, but what about the unbeliever? Now, I could go on and on for the next 2 weeks on this one, but we get to be so negative, don't we? Well, the unbeliever, that is today's rationalist. What is the queen of all the ologies? You know, you got like psychology, geology, neurology. But the queen of all ologies used to be theology. And today it is not. Do you realize that when Adam was made, death did not exist? So when he says, you will surely die, he didn't know what that meant. He didn't know that it meant separation. And so when Adam did sin, he says, but he died. And so God has to show something like this. He put him separate from the garden to separate him from it. That is a picture of death, okay? Death did not exist and there was no selection process. In other words, there was no survival of the fittest. It was that nothing died. You know, today, in so many circles, science wants Scripture to bow to science. And you're going to hear some who will say how science backs up Scripture. Science does not back up Scripture. Scripture backs up science. Okay? When something happens, we say, hey, that's true. I remember hearing a story about in NASA, they were going back in time. I guess they had this computer. Now, you can help me with this if you can. Because I remember reading the story how and they wanted to go back in time. I guess they were getting ready for, they're looking at going to Mars or something. And all of a sudden that computer stopped. There was a gap. So they said, there must be something wrong. So they checked all their stuff and they let it run again. It just kept going back and back, and then it stopped at the same time. And one of the scientists was a Christian. He went out and got his Bible, and he went to the Old Testament and showed where the earth moved back, right? Or there was also a time that the earth was stopped. And he goes, that makes up for those hours that are missing. And then they put that in and it kept on going. Isn't that interesting? But we get the Scripture and we look at it wrong. Like today, we have abortionists are selling baby parts. I need to be delicate with this, but how evil and disgusting is that? That they would sell parts of a baby? That's sick. You know, and it is rationalized away. That is human rationale without God. Okay? That's the problem. Do you realize, to an atheist, nothing is bizarre? Any lifestyle, anything, nothing should ever be bizarre to an atheist. That's why we go like, that is bizarre. Where did that thinking come up? This is normal. No, that is not normal. That is weird. You know what I'm saying? And they have ruined completely good words. Okay? How many pastors and theologues today will deny the Genesis account? And what I'm saying is that I wonder if sometimes they don't want to be seen as uneducated or some ignorant oaf. And so today they're trying to reconcile the Genesis account with evolution, you know. And they say, well, actually the earth isn't 6,000 years old, it's 60 billion years old or whatever, and it continually changes. And my question is you know, when they have the, what do they call it, the carbon dating? Who set that? Who's the guy that set that? I guarantee you had to come up with just a random number. You had to. Because you weren't around when things were made. So it's a guesstimate. I mean, is that not true? All right. So what I'm saying is we have an account of how God made everything, and He tells us how He did it through the Word of God. And so you have people who are trying to reconcile the Bible with the world, and you don't reconcile the Bible with the world. You take the world and try to get it reconciled to the Bible. And God will change that individual. Matter does not have the mind to change. Right? You know, you got here this little thing like this, right? He's going along. I think I want to be a butterfly. I think I'll make a chrysalis. And so long, I'm going to finally break out and I'm going to have beautiful wings and I'll just, you know, fly away. or a fish. Well, what about a toothless shark? You know, we kind of, what about the whale shark? You know, they eat krill, right? They swim through the ocean and it just comes in. Well, all of a sudden, the whale shark says, wait a minute. I want to have something bigger and meatier. I think I need sharp teeth. And I'll make that thing razor sharp with little things on there. Really? They're going to think this? And you think to yourself, you're like, you know, that's hard. Well, it just happens. Nothing just happens. There is purpose and reasons for everything. Because so many of them take the deist point of view. In other words, God created the universe and then evolved. So matter doesn't have the mind to change. And animals, I mean, you think about animals, you can look at birds, even the newborns, or even cats. And if they're a little bit wrong, they'll push them out because they're too weak or they're wrong and let them die, you know. And, you know, I will hear people say that the Bible makes no sense as a thinking man. Well, the longer that I get to know my Bible and God directs me in it, I have to say that the world's reasons to me make no sense to a thinking man. You know, and you try to get your head wrapped around that thing and you're going like, that makes no sense to me. Why would he do something like that? Oh, but I feel that. No. What are you thinking? Well, I feel. No, I want to know what you're thinking. What made you think that this was a good idea? You know, how many times I look at my, you know, I remember one time we're going through the store and I don't know about your children, but my children always had to touch everything. Like they had to look at it. You know? I said, well, I can't look at it without touching. You know, can't you just look at it? No, you have to touch it. You know? Keep your fingers to yourself. You know? First time I took my grandson to the commissary, I'm in Quantico, and I'm looking over here, and he's in this thing over there, and I'm going along like that, and I hear people, and I hear thinking, I hear all this stuff, and the next thing you know, I look over, and he's got his arm out, and he's pushing everything off the shelf, you know. I said, what are you thinking? He wasn't. He was just being a boy, dumb as a bag of hammers. But there are certain laws that don't change, physics, thermodynamics. Yet these types of laws are even ignored if it doesn't fit their own irrational thinking. For instance, the Big Bang theory. This matter is, I mean, it booms and it flies out into space. Now here's what happens. That, okay, we rotate, our earth rotates. I'll give you for instance. Our earth rotates counterclockwise, right? Counterclockwise. Because of the Big Bang, physics will say that everything will turn counterclockwise. Venus turns clockwise. Well, that goes against all laws. Unless there's a God to make it turn the other way. So it blows all their... So what is your... Well, it's an anomaly. No, it's not an anomaly. It's God. Only God can do that. I'm just saying, these are just some things for a thinking man. The atheist, evolution is naturalism. They will believe that God only exists in the mind of a non-intellectual. Christians are seen as dumb rubes. They, the atheists, see themselves as sophisticated and self-proclaimed intellectuals, and they would do better at running your life than you can. And have their own utopia that is called communism. I've been reading Stalin, and the man was immoral, he was unethical, and he is a killer. And he put no value on anybody's life but his own. And yet, today, he's seen as a hero and a good man. because they don't know. Is there any wonder why today there's so much alcoholism, opiate crisis, shooting, suicide? How much stuff is being taught by relativists? In other words, everything is relative. Everything is rationalized. There's no governing discipline. And today, even China, their national religion, they made it as Confucianism. And that is a perfect communist religion because you have no God. It is just a life of living a productive, happy life and life itself is a reward. So, they have no absolutes in their lives. And with God, there are absolutes. Now, so we see the believer, we see the unbeliever, but then, even in Genesis, you see the gospel. You see the gospel. The gospel is throughout Scripture, even here in Genesis 1. Now, if you'd allow me, I am going to spiritualize the word, okay? I believe in the 6 days account. Okay, I just believe in the 6 days account. All right, and even in here, you will find that God Elohim, he could have made everything in a nanosecond, but he didn't. He made it in 6 days, and he made it for his purpose, and it's a good purpose. He gave us a week, 7 days. John 5:39 says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." So we'll see. We're going to see Joe Schmuckatelli. We're going to see the lost man. No offense, Joe. That's Joe Everett, not Joe Schmuckatelli. Any Joe Schmo, okay? And let's see this lost man. Look in verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And verse 2 says, "And the earth was out without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Now, that's what happens to a lost man. God will move upon a lost man on the face. Not within, but on the face. He starts dealing with us. Darkness, it means misery and death and sorrow. And if you can look at your life as a lost man, you could see that life is just, I look back on it, it was miserable. You know, I thought I was having a good time when I found out I wasn't. But in verses 3 and 4, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness." When all of a sudden, when God started dealing with old Joe Schmuckatelli, he starts seeing that there is light and there is darkness. He starts seeing that there is something right, something bigger, something better than you. That this lost man realize that there is a difference, a distinguishing difference. It was like in Luke chapter 2 when Simeon sees his salvation in the baby Jesus Christ. He says in Luke 2 verses 30 through 32, he says, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before thy face of all the people." And he says this, "A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel." So we have this glorious gospel in Jesus Christ, and he is the light, and this was the first day. Well then, look in verse 6. "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and morning were the second day." Ephesians 5:26 is that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the Word. Not only is it light, it is water to sustain and to wash us. The firmament gives this idea of things are being separated, and now old Joe Schmuckatelli is starting to feel isolated by this heavenly water versus the worldly water. And it is in the midst, as Jesus Christ was lifted up between heaven and earth before naked before all mankind. And this was the second day. Look in verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And so, we see this lost man, old Joe Schmuckatelli, is the third day and is set more firm in the world. He is now set his feet on something, and Psalm 27:5 says, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in the pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, he shall set me upon a rock. In other words, when he takes, I remember when God was dealing with me, things became more firm, I was starting to understand some things about who God is, because you get closer to this truth, and truth becomes more firm, and that's what the truth is. And so he begins to see things more defined, and the difference between the water and the earth is something is coming to life in Joe Schmuckatelli. And that is the third day. And then in verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. So God, what God does, he gets this thing spinning and he puts it on an axis that moves. Amazing, isn't it? You know, all this stuff is perfect, you know. The moon where it's at, it's perfect. That thing was off, out or in 1 degree, it would mess up the oceans and life would not exist. It's perfect. Are you kidding me? That just happened? Come on. But the sun and moon, it rules. You know, so much is being seen by Joe and this Joe Schmuckatelli there was real motion going on. This lost man has lived in the dark too long and discovers there is true light that gives life. And that was the fourth day. And verse 20. God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Life brings a new beauty. Let me tell you something. We cannot bring eternal life on our own. Eternal life has to come by its own kind, Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is eternal and he's holy. And the only way that we can be righteous and holy is because of Jesus Christ. Do you remember some years ago when they tried to put the heart of a baboon into a baby? Remember that? I said, that's not going to work. I remember guys at work who say, how do you know that? I said, because it's not after its kind. You have to have a human heart in there, not a baboon. It's different. Oh, it might work. I said, they signed that baby's death warrant. And I think they kept him alive for a couple of days. They did everything they could. It didn't work. But it worked a couple of days. It will never work because it's not after his kind. And we cannot get saved in ourselves. It has to be saved by God. And that's the fifth day. But then, in verse 26, you see, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So here comes Joe Smucatelli, and he realizes he needs Jesus Christ, and he repents of his sin and receives Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ comes into his life, and his fallen spirit now becomes alive with Jesus Christ. And what do we have? We now have a man in his own image. Because as a lost man is not in the image of God. Because of his spirit, it's fallen. And God has a living spirit. And so when we receive Jesus Christ, that living spirit comes in. It's only for God to come in, and it means that when we are quickened, it means that He has entwined Himself with our spirit and reanimates us. Isn't that a marvelous thing? All I'm saying is you can find the gospel in every portion of Scripture. In verse 31, it says, "Behold, it was very good." In other words, it was holy, utterly, and exceedingly beautiful and well-favored. That's what he says of man when he was made. And then Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, and it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." Now, did he need rest? No. We need a time that we are sanctified and set apart to God, to worship and to enjoy him forever. You know, in Canada, there was a short number of years ago, there was a survey that was given to high schoolers and early college students asking what they desired most from their education. You know what it came down to? One word: truth. He says, all we want is the truth. Because they believe they have not been given the truth. And you know something? There are many, many good teachers out there. But how many of them have another agenda? And it's sad. And God wants us to know the truth. And who is truth? God is truth. Jesus Christ is truth. And so the believer, Christian, you need settle what you believe, or what and who you believe, and live what you declare you believe. The believer, are you fooled by your own deceitful heart? Listen, you need to live what you say you believe. The unbeliever, if you're an unbeliever, I will say that don't wait another moment. In Acts 26, verse 22 through 29, Paul's speaking to Herod Agrippa II of Jesus Christ. And in verse 28, he says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." You would think that Agrippa and Festus would learn. That was Agrippa II. His father, Herod Agrippa I, dealing with Peter in Acts chapter 12, verses 22 and 23, it says, "And all the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of God and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and was eaten of worms, and gave up the ghost." You would think that his son would know enough that God is very much real. How is it that we just can't learn from other people's decisions? Why can't we learn? I tell you why. Because our heart is deceitful, and we deceive ourselves. I mean, what more convincing does this guy need? But the gospel in Genesis 1 states that the gospel is pretty clear. And so often we have a tugging at our own heart that's God. And he's trying to get a hold of our heart. And when it comes to Genesis in this account, it's either you believe it or you don't believe it. If you want to believe that in the deist way that We came from a whatever. You know, things are just too perfect. You know what I'm saying? Things are just too perfect. And His Word said that He made us. And I think that's right. I think that's right. And as we go through the book of Genesis, you're going to see humankind sometimes at their worst. But through it, you're going to see God at His best. And His best at dealing with people who just won't believe. What is it going to take us to finally believe and walk in the Spirit of God? We have to make up our mind. And you know something? I think we have to do it every single day. Are you saved? I pray you are. But if you're not, don't be, "You almost persuadest me." I remember my dad was eaten with worms. Really? You don't learn from that?